because these aren't actually Thai fighters. These are Thai-in fighters, of course, created by Kuat Drive Yards. Now the... Yes?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Filipino Freethinkers podcast that's also a video. My name is Red.
And I'm Kenneth.
And today we're going to talk about the Million People March that just happened a while ago. So forgive us for if we're a bit slow on the uptake on this one because we're sleepy. I woke up at 3 a.m. What time did you wake up?
I didn't sleep because I had a show last night.
So there you go. Like, as did many people, I guess, because they all assumed that it would be very difficult to get there. Like, there was all this rerouting and all that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they closed off quite a lot of that. In spite of that, yes, it was very easy to get there as long as you left Makati at around 6 a.m. to arrive there before 7.
Yeah, but anyway, let's talk about the Million People March.
Like, although current latest estimates put it at between 80 to 100,000.
Wow, 100,000, really?
Yes, yeah. According to Ariel, according to Inquirer last I checked.
So we didn't get a million people, but it did feel like a million people when we were there, like, didn't it? Like, at first, like, the field was so open, like, all we could see was mud
and grass. When we got there, there was... The only interesting thing happening was a bunch of people who created giant balloons on one corner.
Yeah.
Giant water balloons. No, soap bubbles. Soap bubbles. Bubbles, not balloons.
Bubbles,
sorry.
Yeah. And someone was flying a kite.
Someone was flying a kite, yes.
But as the day went on...
Trying to navigate the mud. Yeah. As the day went on, the whole place filled up, yeah. Although, while most of the people there continually... made fun of calling it a million people march when it would be impossible to get a million people.
Yeah.
I personally feel it's a catchy enough name, and it seems to have trended worldwide on Twitter briefly, and definitely in the Philippines, number one.
Yeah. So it was a success by some measures. If you
if you measure it simply by attendance and by the people who went, and by the fact that nobody died, as far as we know.
There were lots of police people, security people.
Well, there were a number of meetings. The organizing committee that were not the organizers, because there seems to be an aversion to referring to the event as organized. However, there was a body of people organized around the person who first called for it, Peachy Britannia. And then we were privileged enough to have been invited, along with many other hardworking people who worked harder than us, frankly. Individual citizens, but also people from a lot of organized groups, like people from Bayan, Writers Philippines, etc., etc. And they all came together, and they made sure to do the series of meetings which were required to make sure that the space was secure. We met with the police, with the Manila police. We went all the way to their Manila Police District headquarters, which was kind of strange. I mean, the architecture is kind of mixed. And then we had taxpayer-funded coffee and mamon from there, which was fine because we knew we were eating our taxes at once from Merienda. And then, so the reason there were police there, the reason there were portalettes there, the reason there were first aid stations there was because of the hard work of the people who were sitting in and moving around that command tent, the volunteers of the Million People March.
So hats off to them, hats off to all the people who organized this. Like, the main goal of the people organizing this was to get everyone to attend this picnic or protest or march or demonstration or whatever.
Right. It's funny how in the preparations for it, you really did see the democratic process and that there were a lot of people who were, frankly, arguing with each other, saying, okay, we can't do this, we can't have that. Mm. What we eventually settled on, at least most of the groups that had been working on it, was a gentleman's agreement that we would all share that space. And at least on the green area across the Quirino Grandstand, the Burnham Green area, at least there would be no loudspeakers, no large sound systems, and we would all try to do our own thing, as long as it wouldn't interfere too much with everybody else. So that even all of these other groups, whatever your interest might be, or if you have no groups, as long as you respect each other there. And for the most part, that was the case, with the exception of Radio Veritas.
Yeah.
They came in under the guise of media, saying that, okay, because we're media, they got in early, they had large tents, they made sure they get a central location, and then they set up a very large sound system. Now, Which was fine if you're media, like, okay. Although it was a bit big and they never bothered to talk to any of the people organizing it. Once there, and then once we approached them, at first they were rather brash towards us. They said, oh, who are you? Like, why? Because what they intended to do, they announced about 8 o'clock or so that they would be having a mass and a rosary, and that they would be broadcasting this over their sound system so that the whole park would hear it. At that point, we went up to them and we said, okay, the agreement is you can use those very loud sound systems for housekeeping, maybe to make certain announcements. We cannot broadcast that mass. After which they said, why? Nobody told us that. We can do whatever we want. And the only time that they backed down was, thankfully, I had another free thinker with me, along with, you know, we were up there with my volunteer badge. And then, but even then, they were like saying, oh, who are you? Like, we could do whatever we want. Like, we don't care. But then when I asked the free thinker with me to start filming, that's when they suddenly got quiet. And then they ended up not broadcasting the mass.
So much for some of the specifics. Like, let's just back up a bit for the people who are living under a rock or have no access to the internet or to the mainstream media.
Or, like, don't care.
Or who don't care. Like, this was, of course, about that whole pork barrel scam issue.
Right.
It was discovered that, yeah, that certain government individuals, and along with this NGO owned by Janet Lim Napoles, who is being searched for right now.
NGOs organized only for taking in money by the
ghost projects.
Also priests.
You know, taxpayer money going to these ghost projects.
Yeah.
Most of which actually just go to the pockets of these politicians.
Right.
Allegedly, there's already a list, but of course we don't need to mention their names right now. There will be a proper investigation for all of it.
Most of the people on Team Buhay.
But people are sure enough that there is definitely some crime going on, and that got them riled up enough to organize something as big as this.
Yes.
So people are mad that their taxpayer money is going to not to the places that they should go to. And I mean, that's the kind of stories that we hear from the people who actually attended our thing. This event was cool because there wasn't a singular stage.
Yeah.
There were different organizations having their own thing, and
they made sure, yeah, we had a video wall. The main committee that was putting it together,
yeah,
had a video wall just to project images, and then they had a sound system, but only for housekeeping,
yeah,
and then maybe for a basic call.
Yeah.
However, even then, they made sure that there would be no elevated stage, so that you couldn't see one person above everybody else.
So it was kind of like, I was talking to Leloy earlier, and he said this was the closest to anarchy. Like, I wouldn't call it anarchy, actually. It's kind of similar to what happened in the Occupy movement in the States.
Except more focused, therefore hopefully not as big a failure.
Yeah, yeah. This was the call was definitely very focused, and there were two or three things that the people were calling for.
It's abolish pork and then prosecute those responsible.
Prosecute those responsible, and to keep the process as open to the public.
Yeah.
As necessary. Of course, the FOI bill came up a number of times,
right,
the importance of that.
In fact, there was some debate among the organizers to even put in the FOI bill,
yeah,
as one of the,
yeah,
things. However, it came out organically, even though we did not end up putting it on the main
call. Yeah.
On the main call. All of the people that we talked to, eventually they came back to the need for the FOI, at least the people there.
So we had a meetup, which is what we usually do every,
yeah,
week, and we wanted to bring that to the public.
Right.
And a lot of people...
It was remarkable. We started with a small circle of people on our little trash bags.
Maybe less than 20 at first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then we thought that we would just have a quiet meetup among ourselves. But then suddenly, as we were discussing, this large crowd of people just started congregating around us.
Yeah.
To the point where it was like, what, a couple of hundred or so? Like, they informed us they could see it from command tent. So,
wow.
So yeah, then they just, with Red moderating... and then everybody just wanted to say their piece. There was, admittedly, because of the crowd there, there wasn't a lot of nuanced argument. And you didn't get the usual contrarian views.
What would you argue against? Like, what they were saying was a shared experience.
Right. It ended up being more of, I'm here, this is what I'm here for, this is what I feel. And most powerfully, these are the reasons that brought me here. And then that's when the personal stories came out. That's when you started having people say, I'm a teacher, and then this is, these are the things that happened to me, and this is how the corruption has affected me. I am a former government employee. I am a current government employee who gave up my private sector job just so that I could see if I could do something better for the country, and how frustrating that port issue is.
And the diversity of the people who spoke up, like you get young people, students, like seniors speaking up, people without jobs and with jobs.
Right, right. One thing that we appreciated, although it seemed like everybody presumed that we were all students, which is flattering, but a lot of them kept saying, a lot of the more mature people there kept saying that the reason they were here is not for them, but for the youth.
For the future,
for their
generation.
Kids, for the ones, and that seeing groups like the Freethinkers there, which seemed to be composed of mostly young people, and then organizing and having measured discussions about governance and about the future of the country and society was very inspiring for them, and gave them the energy they needed to go on, which is quite touching.
Let's talk about the sentiments, like other than of course the common calls for the scrapping of the pork barrel and prosecuting those involved. There were also several people who said the same things, like things along the lines of, this is our fault, actually. Like, we were the people who voted for these corrupt officials, and we have to, you know, take some of the brunt for what is happening.
Right, right. This is our fault in the last election.
Yeah.
Did anybody go as far as saying, this is what you get when you have a government period? Like, were there any open anarchists?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, there were none, but that's another discussion, I think, for another podcast. So there were a lot of people who attended this event. Like, it was generally a success as far as the event goes, because there still is a pork barrel.
Yeah, no, there's
still, we still do not know what the government is.
The PDAF has been abolished, but like anybody who can read it can tell that there is still a system for allocation of funds.
Yeah, it could be just a renaming of the PDAF.
Right.
Like, you know, but a lot of people there are saying that they will remain vigilant. Like,
people did go.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, it was safe.
Yeah.
It was well organized, and which I think brings the lie to a lot of people's preference. For whatever reason, there seemed to be this romantic notion that they wanted. Well, they seemed to want two things. One, they wanted no organization, because they wanted a fully spontaneous movement, like Occupy, without seeming to realize that the Occupy movement
was very organized.
Was extremely organized. Yeah. But even then, like, their main problems, since they didn't focus on, like, one call, they had vague demands, like, it kind of petered out. Whereas here, we at least managed to focus. But yeah, they seemed to not want to be organized, but then they still wanted to come to a safe event. And then they said that they didn't want to go because it seemed unsafe. But then they don't want people to organize to make it safe. And then they said, oh, I don't want to go there because other groups are there. But then they don't want to go there themselves to speak up. So it seems like, well, at least those are some of the sentiments you saw online. And I don't know how many of those people ended up not going, but at least 80 to 100,000 people did go, and that made us quite happy.
And all this started mostly in social media. It spread in social media.
Right, right.
And let's talk about that. Like, was this our kind of
I was talking to some of the people in
It wasn't Arab Spring, definitely.
No,
not.
No,
not that. But this is kind of like you said.
The online news group Rappler was, at least some of the people there were saying they wanted to monitor this very closely, because this is a litmus test of how significant social media is in this country.
Yeah.
Like, this is, let's look at a movement that's born primarily from social media. With a lot of the traditional groups were there, but their usual channels, but it seemed to be outnumbered by just the people who heard about it online. Yeah. And they came. And this is the ultimate test. This is what we've always been wondering. Like, can online civic agitation translate to the streets? Yeah. Or,
the
in
common
this case,
term,
nice,
I think, is like collectivism or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. You know,
will the collectivists finally stand up and off,
like,
their couches.
Yeah, get off of their asses and into the streets. And the question was answered.
They
came out.
It can work. Given the right reason, like, people will go out.
But do you think they'll continue coming out? Like, for people who this is obviously a new thing for a lot of the people there. Do you think they'll keep on coming?
That's the thing. Maintenance is always the hardest thing. I mean, they might feel that they already went there.
Mm-hmm.
They have shot their activism load, so to speak. All of their friends have asked, "Hey, did you go? Were you there?" And then they say, "Yeah, okay, I went. I'm good. I've done my part by being there."
Yeah.
And then they might end up doing nothing else. I don't know.
Yeah, people could sense, of course, that this is one of like a historic moment,
right,
for the Philippines. Like a lot could spring from this. Like it could signal a dramatic change in our government. But I think that you're right. We have to be vigilant. Like nothing could come out of this if we don't continue doing
even then, like the calls are as unspecific as stay vigilant. They are as vague as watch for it.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard concrete calls to action. What would be handy would be, for example, at something concrete would be the next budget. At the next budget meetings in Congress, for example, or whenever they're going to discuss the General Appropriations Act,
yeah.
It would be handy if people actually went out for that, because we've seen there are many seats available in the congressional gallery, but most of the time nobody goes because nobody seems to care enough. So what would be a good concrete result from this is if people actually went and watched.
I don't think it would be enough to say, let's not vote for these people. Like, that's too far away. That's too far off.
Right. When you say things like, let's not vote for this person.
I heard some people say, like, let's not pay taxes until the PDEF is crap to our satisfaction.
Right. Which is actually the sort of active thing that would be, if not at least effective, I don't know if it would be effective, but it would be something concrete and it would make a real stand. But I don't know if people are prepared to do that.
Yeah,
like because that's
civil disobedience.
Well, it's civil disobedience. It's a criminal act. It's not even civil disobedience. You're going to jail. But I think
enough people do it.
If enough people, again, what this proved is, no matter how many people want to stop you, no matter how much the government may want to stop people, like even the police, who behaved very well today and were very kind and coordinated. But even then, they were trying to tell people, "Oh, be careful. There'll be bombs. Like we'll see if we can." We'll see if you know these backpacks. They might be dangerous, but no matter how many people may keep, no matter how much the government may keep trying to tell people, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this. Even today, like you shouldn't go out there today. There's no need. Like I've abolished PDAF, guys. Like you don't go. But
maybe
if enough
vindicated
people go,
some of the anger,
I wonder. But if people want to go, like they'll go, and there's nothing really the government can stop it. I mean, the government really should be afraid of its people, as long as they can get off their asses.
So yeah, that's something to look forward to. Of course, people aren't satisfied with Pinoy's reaction, which is why they showed up in such huge numbers.
One thing I do hope though is that the aversion which I've been seeing for a lot of people, whether for whatever reason, whether understandable or not, like a lot of the people online who said they would want to go today.
Yeah.
They seem to have an aversion to activists in general. They're like, "Oh, I don't want to go if the activists are there." Well, the next time that they go, guess what? They're all activists now.
Yeah, we're all in it.
Yeah, they went today. you're an activist.
Yeah, you don't get an official badge for it. Like the fact that you did show up, like makes you an activist, and you have to
own up to it.
It's good to be an activist. Like, why wouldn't it be?
I think
it shows that you care.
It's been tainted with a lot of the actions of, like, you know, people have a stereotype that they're like violent and that they're disruptive for no good reason.
Well, of course, it's wrong that people think an activist should be one way or another. Like, you can be whatever kind of activist you want to be. And I hope that more people do become activists in their own way. At the very least, be aware of what's happening. And if you're not satisfied with it, then do more than just click like and click share. Like, get off your asses, show up to events like this.
The democracy thing is kind of pointless if you don't.
Most of all, just talk about it. I think that's a huge step. People don't want to talk about these things. It's not as exciting as gossip or
it's not as exciting as gossip columns or sports,
hipster music or telenovela, as a lot of people there.
Yeah, and
a lot
of the people there themselves are saying, like, why can't we get this on the news instead of telenovelas?
So I guess we can end with that call for people to be, at least consider being more active, if not an activist. So Thank you for listening to this podcast that's also a video, and see you next time.
Freethinkers, we're here at the Luneta, and this is pretty much the biggest meetup we've ever had. So we just set up a few things. If anybody wants to come by, just look for this crowd. Say anything that you want, as long as you're civil. Just like every other Freethinker meetup, except out here. Thanks.